Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You might wonder, well, you know, that's the sermon you preached last week. And we did speak on those words last week. These words were spoken by Jesus in Luke chapter 15, verses 22 through 24. They're found in the third parable, one way of looking at it, I suppose, of Luke 15, spoken by Jesus in response to words of criticism or complaint from the Pharisees and the scribes. Luke tells us about the context and what was going on that day in Luke 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. Luke 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. We'll still be spending time this morning camped in that area, Luke 15, Luke 18. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. Actually, he proceeds to speak three parables, or going by Jesus' words, he spoke one parable with three parts. The lost sheep, man, a shepherd, had 100 sheep. He lost one of them. One of them was missing one evening, and he went and searched until he found that lost sheep. Then the second parable, or second part, had to do with a lady who had 10 silver coins. She lost one. Those in bookkeeping or accounting would say she lost 10% of what she had. And she searched diligently until she located it in her house. And the third one, lost son. We talked about him last week, the one that chose to leave home. Parable of the prodigal son. To refresh our minds on that parable, which serves as background for our lesson this morning, that boy approached his father and demanded that which was his part of the inheritance. He had an older brother, so the older brother would receive 2/3 and he would receive 1/3. He'd gathered his 1/3 together, got it into spending money, went out and squandered all that he had. He wasted it on reckless living, one translation says, or riotous living. Found himself penniless, friendless, homeless, and helpless. The boy he was unemployed too. He had to find himself a job. Job market wasn't too good that year for Jews. He got a job, says, with a citizen of the country, Gentile likely. He took care of the pigs. He slopped the hogs, is what we would have said out in Bordeaux here. Wasn't the best job to come along for a Jew. They despised that type work because the pigs were unclean. But he finally came to himself, the Bible says. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, he thought of others. He thought of home. He thought of his father, thought of his brother at home, and all that home meant. Saw where he was, saw where he had been. And he got on the road from the faraway place to go back to his homeland. The father saw him before he got too close. He saw him from afar and he ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. And that's when the story about the robe, the ring, the sandal, the fatted calf, I mean, nothing was too good for this boy. Because the boy had been lost and now was found. He'd been dead and was now alive. Then they had all that merrymaking feast celebrating his homecoming. But this time in our lesson last week, we've completely forgot about that second boy. We lost sight of how the parable began. A certain man had two sons. A certain man had two sons. What about this second son? Well, we read about him where we left off last week. We left off at verse 25. You read through verse 24, Luke 15. You got your Bibles, might want to read along with me. If you don't have your Bibles, shame, shame, shame. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and he asked what these things meant. What's going on? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Someone has said, read this in some of my readings, that they wished that the parable had ended with the welcome home party, the prodigal. They began to be merry would have been a fitting end, a fitting climax to this parable by Jesus, they thought. It would have then had an happily ever after type closing, wouldn't it, like a fairy tale. This was not a fairy tale. This was a parable told by Jesus to respond to these Pharisees and these scribes who were constantly criticizing and complaining. There was another part of the story that needed to be told. And so Jesus tells it about the elder brother. The boy that stayed home. When the younger boy came and all this commotion was going on, he was out in the field working probably. Working hard, perhaps dirt all over his hands, tired. And as he goes in, he hears all this commotion going on, and he heard the music and the dancing, and didn't go in. He asked one of the servants. He said, what does all this racket mean? What does all this going on mean down at the house? What's going on down there? The servant told him, said, your brother has come home and And he's now safe and sound, and your father has seen fit to have a celebration. Verses 26-27. Now the elder brother could have been happy for the situation, couldn't he? He could have been happy for his father and that the lost son was home. He could have been happy that his brother had come to himself, had found himself, and had returned home to his father. But he was not. The Bible says he was angry. He was angry because the father to plead with him. Come join the celebration. He might have said, you know, just come on up and join the festivities and be a part of it. And then the elder son's response to the father said, I stayed home. I never sinned against you. I never transgressed against you, Father. And you never brought out a fatted calf for me. We never had a party. And your son comes home, this son of yours, he says, comes home and whoopee, it's party time. You know where he's been. You know what he's done. You know he's spent all that you gave him on harlots, on the prostitutes. And yet you treat him like this. Father responded to this angry, jealous son. Notice, a term of endearment, son. I don't know how old the boy was, but this father had two boys. He had two boys. Son. Both boys were his sons. You've always been with me. We've been here together for each other all the time. I've been here for you, and you've been here for me. I don't know what all was said. He then said, all I have is yours. To a great extent, that would be literally, wouldn't it? If we go back earlier to verse 12, the Bible says, so he divided to them his livelihood. So when the younger boy got his inheritance, the older boy got his too. They evidently didn't convert it to money, and I don't know, you know, the stuff had been acquired since then, I'm sure the father had. But he said, all I have is yours. Both brothers had received their inheritance at the same time. So there was no right for him to feel slighted. In fact, the father said, it is right that we have this coming home party. Welcome him home. Back in the family. Then he says, for your brother, not my son. He didn't say my son. You know, the older brother tried to dissociate himself with this younger brother by talking to the father and said, this, your son, has come back. And the father tried to turn it around. Your brother was dead. Just as good as dead. And he's now alive. He was lost out in all that time. Whatever he was doing, whatever he had gotten to, the boy was lost. He came to himself. He's back home. He's found. Now looking at the situation of this older brother. What kind of attitudes did he possess? Now, I think we can look at some of his attitudes and see where he went wrong in the way he acted. Now, we might think, well, it's somewhat natural for a boy to think that he'd been there all the time. that he'd been the one that was faithful, that he'd been the one that took care of things, and this other boy just kind of trotted off and did his own thing. This boy was ungrateful, wasn't he? He was ungrateful. Son, thou art ever with me, the father said, and yet this stay-at-home boy begrudged his younger brother having one party. Having one time when there was a celebration for him. One time eating a fatted calf. I guess it was a calf that they were planning on eating at some time. They usually fatten them up. But he was ungrateful. He had enjoyed everything at his father's home. He had eaten at his father's table. He had the comradeship and the companionship of his father, of others in the household, the servants. This younger boy was going through all kind of torment out there. He's also self-righteous. Really, probably that was a key thought in Jesus' mind as he told the story of the older brother. Wasn't that the problem of the Pharisees? Scribes, self-righteous. I give tithes of all I had. Remember one time a Pharisee said that. Throughout the book of Matthew chapter 23, these Pharisees are talked about by Jesus. He was self-righteous. So this lesson, this part of the lesson that Jesus is teaching was to those complaining scribes and Pharisees saying, you eat with sinners and you associate with sinners. And Jesus says back at you with this lesson. He said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you. Oh, just what a good boy. He broke his arm, patting himself on the back. What a good boy am I, Father. Aren't you grateful to have such a good son? He dwelt on that faithfulness so much that he finally convinced himself that he was being abused and probably been ill-treated and maybe had not been rewarded sufficiently for his faithfulness compared to this young boy. Then he said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I would imagine the father could have called him on the carpet on that. That was a very unusual statement, probably an untrue statement. The boy was prone to exaggerate now, wasn't he? But you know, these words remind us of another parable that Jesus told in Luke 18. In Luke 18, Jesus told the parable, the story of the Pharisee and the publican who went into the temple to pray. You remember the prayer according to the Pharisee's prayer, Luke 18:9. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And the tax collector was way off from him. And he was praying, but he wouldn't as much as lift his eyes up to heaven. He beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But doesn't that paint a picture of what's going on in Luke 15? Pharisee and the tax collector resemble quite clearly that of the two sons. One recognized he was a sinner, was penitent, and desired and expected nothing more than mercy from his father. And the other son was quite different, acknowledged no sin, was arrogant, and was self-righteous. The elder brother attitudes, ungratefulness, self-righteous. And he was loveless. I don't know whether he's capable of love. He hadn't read 1 Corinthians 13, though, had he? The younger brother stayed in his home. He was there where his father was and other household occupants. Someone's writer said that the elder brother, though always at home, was never at home. He never did really see that he fit in. He was too convinced of his own righteousness, of his own merit, of his own goodness, and too consumed with his own hardships to ever understand and appreciate the grief of a father who has lost a son, but now the son has returned home, acknowledging sin, penitent, throwing himself at the mercy of his father. He couldn't understand and appreciate the younger boy, having been where he had been, having come to the conclusion that, look, I've got to change my ways. I've got to go back home. All that that boy went through, he could not sympathize. He could not empathize. Loveless. George Buttrick, in his book, The Parables of Jesus, on page 200, said this. Think about it. Many a man has been driven back to the far country by the lovelessness of the elder brother. Many a man has been driven back to the far country by the lovelessness of the older or the elder brother. You can picture that scene. Hey, we don't have to explain all the nitty-gritty of what would go into that. As Jesus is trying to explain the relationship in this family. A prodigal son who comes home. A prodigal son who remains home, but is not at home. And a loving father. As the story ends, where do we find the two sons? Where do we find the two sons? The prodigal son was at home with his father. Where is the elder brother? He appears to be in a far country of his own making. No one has shut him outside. He shut himself outside. He made the deliberate choice to possess the attitudes that now possessed him. He was barred from the father, really, even though he lived in the same house. He was barred from the father, and we know that the father represents God. Barred from the father, barred from heaven, by being ungrateful, by being self-righteous, arrogant, and by being loveless. The lessons of the prodigal son, the elder brother, and the loving father are there for each of us. So let's think about the context, yes. What Jesus was teaching to those who were present, yes. But let's make application to ourselves. Is there one this morning who's here who's a prodigal? Who's away in the far country from the Father? Coming to yourself? You need to come to yourself and come back to the Father. If you've been an elder brother who, when somebody does come home, you've been unwelcoming, not appreciative of the decisions that had to be made in order to make that step back of the Father's home, those steps. And if that fits any of us, we need to repent of that, don't we? We need to ask the Father for forgiveness. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. If you're here and not a Christian, having studied with someone, studied on your own, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that Jesus went to the cross for your sins, as well as mine, that His blood was shed there for a purpose, for the purpose of granting us forgiveness of sins, if we would accept the grace of God that is extended, and by faith turn to Him for the answer to the sin that's in our lives. Repenting of that sin. Expressing our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Then to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. If you have that need this morning, would you come as we stand as we sing the song selected?